Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you by Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Nun Beit. So let's start again in the interesting sugya that we began yesterday on Nun Aleph Amud Beit, where we were discussing the concept of an entire organism. And we recognized that there is an idea of an entire organism which may be different in life and in death. This was Nogea Rekev, this was Nogea Evrim and Achai. And in the end, we brought a fascinating question, which is, how do we understand the concept of an organism in terms of the dinim of achila and in terms of the dinim of tuma? There's two ways of looking at it. On the one hand, we could say that one of the shiurim in the Torah is a kezayit of isra achila, and that's called achila, and or a bria. It's called a bria shlema, which means that that is a shear. Now, if that's a shear, then it's like any other shear. If a kezias is missing 1% or 0.1% of the kezias, obviously there's not going to be a chiyuv because there's no shear. If, however, we understand that the issue of a birya is not that there's a shear of a birya, it's just that the Torah asserted eating an entire birya. So then if that's the case, it's not one of the shiurim, it's a question of its ability to survive as an organism. So therefore, in a case where, let's say, you have an entire ant, and you pulled a leg off of this ant, so now you don't have an entire ant. If it's a shiur, so then, even though it's missing a leg, which seems to be insignificant in terms of the ant itself, nonetheless, if it's a shiur, it's like a kezias that's missing one tiny grain. But if it's a din in a biological machine that works, this is a biological machine that works, and therefore it's called a birya. In which case, it would be a mechayev malchus, and it would be a full shear, despite the fact that it would be missing its leg, because it is one of the shiurim. It's just a din in not eating the entirety of an organism. So today, on Daf Membeit, the Gemara would like to see if we can get to the bottom of this and find a raya to the din. So Amr Biyuda Midiskarta, I'll bring you a raya from a braita. This is a very famous braita that points out, this has been okay, the din of Tuma, of the Shmona Shratzim, but the din of Tuma and the din of Achila are the same. The Torah compares them, and they're both called Tamei Ulachim. So Tashma, let's take a look at the famous braita that contrasts the two psukim that appear, one after the other, that appear in the dinim of Shmona Shratzim. So you'll recall that there are eight particular Shratzim mentioned by name in the Torah, in which Ela HaTameim Lachem B'chol HaSheretz Kol HaNogea Ben B'motam Yitmada Arab. So the following eight Shratzim are Metame you, if you touch them, as an avatuma, you'll be tame until Harev Shemesh. Now it says Kol HaNogea Bahem. Bahem means as they are, right? The whole thing. Akiva, you're looking like you're spacing out a bit. So the next pasuk, however, says, V'chol asher yipol alav mehem b'motam yitma. Uh-oh, now that seems to be a very different idea. Kol hanogea bohem is as they are. Kol hayipol mehem yitma means even a piece of them. So how does it work? Is this a din in the entirety of the sheretz, or is it a din in a shiur? And that sounds very familiar to the issue that we've been talking about. And indeed, the Brisa addresses it as follows. So, on the one hand, it says, Ela hatmeim lachem b'chol asheretz, kol hanogea bahem b'motam. So, if you only had that pasuk, bahem, what would you think? You would think, b'kula, you have to touch the entire organism. But if something's missing, then it will not be mitameyu. But that cannot be true, says the Braita, because the very next pasuk says, kol asher yipol alav mehem. And mehem means even if it's part of them. So tamad lomar mehem. Now, if we have the pasuk of mehem and we look at that, then it would mean, okay, so then any part of them should be mitame, He may hem yochol miktzatam. Talmud lomar, no, don't make that mistake to think even part of it. It says bohem. Well, I mean, come on. I mean, which way does it go? Okay, so how can we have two psukim, one after the other, that contradict each other? It's got to be that ach yigab miktzatan shehu kikulam. So the Torah is giving you a shear of tuma of the shmeina shratzim and defining it as a part of a sheretz, but that at least has the chashivas of the entire sheretz. So in some way, it would be the same as an actual birya shlema. And what would that be? V'shiaru chachamim b'cha'adasha. So the Rabbanon said, you see from here, that the shear of tuma sheretz is a shear of a ka'adasha, of a lentil. Why is that? Where do we see that from here? Well, one of the Shmoneh Shratzim that is listed is a chomet. And a chomet, which as Rashi points out, and chomesh, and he should know because he lived in France, is a snail, and the Frenchies love eating snails, so he was well aware of what they were selling in the non-kosher makola down the block, right? So he said, okay, so the smallest shiur that you find a chomet that begins to function as an organism in its earliest stage is the tchilat briyato b'cha'adasha. So in other words, the normative size of a chomet at the beginning of its biological functionality is a shir of a kadasha. So what does that show you? Shmamina shi'ura gemirala. So it must be that we are learning this issue of the complete chomet, which would have been the behem. And when now we're saying a behem, that's like a behem, which is that it would be a total chomet, functioning chomet. It has to be actually a shiur. Because let's imagine for a moment that it's not a shiur, right? So why would we take the entire chomet, which is the shiur of a kadasha, and make that the shiur of which the miktsasam is metame? Why wouldn't we say, okay, I understand that the normative size of a functioning chomet as it begins to move about is, in fact, a kadasha. However, suppose I cut off part of the chomet, is it not going to be able to function? Like pulling off the leg of an ant? It will still function. So where did we get the idea that it has to be the kadasha? It should have been even less than a kadasha. We should have figured out what parts of a chomet can you remove and still have it be a living chomet and a functioning chomet? But we don't do that. So it's obvious that the halacha l'meshe miSinai is in terms of a specific shiur. And therefore, it is not a din in a birya in which as long as it could function, the braita didn't even consider that possibility, right? Omer of Shmaya, come on, that's a totally wrong application of the idea, for heaven's sakes. Over there, we're not looking for the concept of a birya. Over there, we are looking for a way out of the what appears to be a contradiction in the pasuk as to whether we look at the entire thing or we look at part of it. Now, it may very well be true that once you have a living chomet, a particular chomet, right? We're talking about a phenotype over here. We're not talking about the genotype. So you're talking about a particular chomet. Fine. So now that particular chomet, if you pull off parts of it that are still enable it to live, would you still be tame in touching it? Quite possibly. But that's not the issue here. The issue here is to determine the normative shear of the genotype. Fine, so then I'm looking, what kind of crazy thing is that? So let me take into consideration a chomet that's a mutation, it was born without legs. I mean, what? That's crazy. Obviously, if we're going to establish what the shear is, then we're going to establish it according to the biological norm. So what does this have to do with what you're talking about, Omer of Shmaya? Ki be'inan shi'ura, debidolo havika b'kadasha lo mitame, why lo mitame? Because biologically, it doesn't begin to function. Lo nafla ba neshama. That's all we're saying. If we're talking about the entire organism, and it has to have life in it, it doesn't normatively, doesn't express life unless it's the shear of a kadasha. But, I mean, once you have a living particular organism, so then maybe even if you would pull off parts, it's not within a year, we still have the question of whether a functioning organism is usher to eat, because the Torah says don't eat the entire organism. That's all. The question stands exactly as it was before, Shezer Rishmaya. Tiboyalach, that is still completely open. I don't understand what you think you could prove from here. So we do not have, in the end, a raya about this, and the Gemara leaves it open, in which case, la halacha, you wouldn't be chai of malchus unless you didn't pull off any legs, because we're not going to give you malchus and a suffix of maybe it's considered to be a birya, not as a shear. We'll have to assume that it's a birya as a shear. Next thing we had in the Mishnah was a shidra and a gugolet. Now, there's two ways of reading that. A shidra plus gugolet, or a shidra or a gugolet, because that's always the way that we read the vav achibur. It could mean and or. That's what vav means in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, the truth is that this is a little strange, because as the Rosh points out, look, this seems to be built entirely around the Mishnah in Eilos. The Lashon Mishnah in Eilos is Hashidra v'Hagugolet. The problem is that the Nusach, the most standard Nusach in our Mishnah is Al Hashidra v'Al Hagugolet. I mean, that means that they're two separate things, very clearly. It can't be and or if you're saying Al, right? Because then the Al itself means that it's a separate number in the set. So, I mean, again, the Rosh's approach is, I mean, look, it could be that that's not the right girsa. The Rosh's approach is that we're focusing on the Mishnah and Eilos, since that is the root of the halacha. And there's even those, like the Rabbi Peretz, who learn that that's good for the Gemara's question. What is the correct way to read the Mishnah? Do we read it like we read the Mishnah in Eilos, or perhaps the girsa that we have over here is more correct? Allah Shidra, Allah Gugol. Whatever the point is, halacha l'maisa, are we talking about just a spine or just a skull, or are we talking about actually both together? So, Yibayaluhu, do we mean Shidra plus Gugolet? Nan, o Dilma, o Shidra, o Gugolet. O Marava, Toshma, Shidra, Shigired, Rovi il Ineshaba. So, suppose you have bones from which most of the ribs were cut down. That is considered to be tahar, because it's not considered to be a shidra at all. However, if you find these remains in a kever, then even if it's broken into pieces, mishuberet, or it's mifureket. Now, mifureket is different than mishuberet, as we learned in Chulin, because mifureket, what we're talking about in a living animal, there's two ways you can break ribs. You can break the rib, but you can also have a rib that's pulled out from between the vertebrae where it's connected, which is more serious of a problem in terms of the dinim of treifas. But in any event, it doesn't matter what the situation is. If all of these remains were in a particular kever, so then the kever is mechaber them together, because they're considered to be mechuber. This is itself the Rosh. This is a new din that we have in this Urim that we were mekabel. So it's not that we're figuring it out that there's a din of tziruf. It's that this is a particular halacha of the din of the Tumas Hameis in terms of Shidra v'Gugolet. Now note that the only thing that we mentioned here was the missing ribs. Never even discussed the skull. So if that's the case, it's clear from here that the only reason that there would be tahar is taima mishum de girat. So our problem is in the opening of the price. Our problem is that there are no ribs. But if you wouldn't have cut off the ribs, then we would have said that a full shidra is considered to be mitami without a gugolet. Shema mina o shidra o gugolet tonight. So therefore, we seem to be ignoring the question of a gugolet. Come on. This is another one of your jumping to conclusions. That's you saying, well, so that teaches me. Nu. And if you were writing the Mishnah, you wouldn't write it that way. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, but if it, it doesn't say anything about that. All it's doing is pointing out that there's clearly an important relationship between ribs and spinal columns. That's all it's pointing out. As to whether we're talking about a spinal column which is associated with a skull, that's a different issue. We're not coming to discuss that. So therefore, this has nothing to do with it. Hakomashmalan, it's only coming to teach me this halacha, that if you were girad, the actual ilin, which the ribs themselves, it's tar. And the other question, I don't know, that's your business. Go figure it out. But this is not what we're coming to discuss over here. This business of being medayik, and everybody who doesn't say everything that's on your mind, obviously is thinking along the lines of your mind. I mean, that's not the way things work. Okay, let's see if we can bring a riot from this brisa. Toshma. Reb Yehuda Omer. Shisha dvarim Reb Akiva mitameh v'chachamim mitaharim. Wow. Okay, so we have six things that there was this very important machlokas, which we're about to read. And Rabbi Akiva initially said they were tameh, and the Chachomim said they're tar. And then Rabbi Akiva had charata. So there was even a maisa where we see that he had charata, and it was very nogea, the events, because it was a maisa in the Beit HaKnesset Shel Tarsim. And Rabbi Akiva was there, together with a lot of the Chachamim. So they had brought together remains from a place, maybe there was a mass massacre, God only knows what happened over there, and they brought a box full of atzamot, leaving it outside of the entry to the Beit HaKnesset Shel Tarsim. And the Tarsim are people that work with copper. And they didn't want to bring it into the Beit HaKnesset so that people who came into the Beit HaKnesset wouldn't become Tomei Meit. And they wanted the Beit HaKnesset to be usable by Kohanim and so on, so fine. So they left it outside. Now, what I did, they weren't sure whether what was left here would actually have been Mitame. Is this from one person? Were they able to separate out the remains? How many people was this all about? So this was basically, they gathered together the leading physicians. Tudas HaRofe lived at that time with Rabbi Akiva, and he was famous as a knowledgeable physician. So he, together with the rest of the medical school that they brought out there to examine these remains and to see how many different people this actually represents, and the question of whether what we have over here would be metame ba'el, and that of course is part of Rabbi Akiva's whole question of after the atzamos from different mesim, according to him, are mitzarfim. So I mean, this was not the way that most of the Chachamim held. So the question is, we needed to figure out whether we're talking about full mesim here or whether it's just a pile of bones. So what happened? So nichnas tudas harofe, v'chol harofim imo, v'yamru, and they said, after examining these remains, so they said that there's not a single full skeletal remains of one individual here, even a shidra. Ein kan shidra mimei techad, and they were able to determine that this is a collection from many people, and is not, therefore, l'chora, and is not going to be mitame. Fine. So if that's the case, they mean that we don't have enough to actually be from the same person. Okay, what about, I mean, if we don't even have a full shidra, obviously, because otherwise, I mean, nobody sat there making a puzzle from different bones from different people, obviously. So why did we need to figure it out? If we didn't have a shidra, there wouldn't be metame. So, okay, so the Rosh Hashanah, the Shiloh over here was clearly, as we'll see later, whether a nazir would be chayev to bring karbonis and giluach tuba and so on, if a nazir had walked over these atzomais while they were still bury it? That was the question. Because over there it says, that we just had a minute ago, now the kever would be mitzarif these pieces. But the way that it was over there, obviously, it would no longer be tziruf. So that wasn't the question. Okay. So that's what the doctors determined. Now, you'll notice...
Isn't that interesting that we're dealing with tziruf
For ones whose mind puts together the most unlikely combinations and comes out with ingenious formulations of new language, which hasn't been seen since the days of Mordechai Bilshan, it definitely is very suggestive. So, you notice that the doctors, they sent out a description in which the only thing that they focused on was whether there was a shidra mimetechad. They didn't say a word about a skull. Now, why is that? So you see that the point is, taibit aleka shidra demichada. But if they would have been able to find even just a shidra from one mate, or just a gugolet from one mate, then a nazir, you see clearly, as the Rush points out, we're talking about giluach of a nazir. So then a nazir would be megaleach aleha. So you see that if the doctors didn't need to discuss any gugolet, so apparently it's o shidra o gugolet. It's not, again, it's the same thing. Why did they write a scientific report that mentioned it this way? Because they were saying not only lo mi boy shidra v'gugolet, not only do we not have remains from one mate, we don't even have a shidra alone or a gugolet alone from one mate. That's the point. But maybe in Ochinami you do need that. You do need to have both a shidra and gugolet. And they were saying, don't worry about a thing because there's not even a one shidra. So forget about the question about whether you have a shidra and a gugolet. Maybe that's all they were saying. Don't have to spell it out. Okay. But I gotcha anyway. You know what? Because it says over here six things. Now let's try to figure out what those six things are. Because you said specifically, shisha dvarim. Okay. So now we're going to spell out what the shisha dvarim are. This is the continuation of that same brightness. So it says, umahen shisha dvarim sherebi akiva mitamei v'chachamim mitarim. Now here we're going to be able to count it, right? So if the shidra and gugolet are one thing, then they're only going to count as one. If they're count as two things, they're going to count as two. So anyway, what happened over there in the brighta is that here it wasn't important to us, but in the brighta it says that they told Rabbi Akiva ptach atat techila, tell us what the halacha is, because they knew that Rabbi Akiva was chaylik on the din of shnei meitim, and he held shnei meitim are also metame, and tell us what you hold. Is this metame? And then they were going to go for a minyan, and they were going to paskin keneged Rabbi Akiva because they had the chachomim, so they asked him to say yeshita first. And Rabbi Akiva said, it's tar, and it's not metame and anaya. So they said, oh, so if Rabbi Akiva is chazar, but we don't have to go for a minyan, because now everybody's agreed that it's not metame. That was the story, and that was one of the issues that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind about. Now the Braisa lists all of the six things. So what are they? So, okay, one thing is an aver min hamet sheba mishnei metim. So let's say that we put together parts of a leg from one mate and part from another mate. So according to Rabbi Akiva lechatchila, Rabbi Akiva said tamei, the Chachomim said tohar. This is all Rabbi Akiva was mitzarif in all of the issues, whether it was dam, atzoma, zitzom. Remember that he was mitzarif all things, even from shnei meitim. We'll see in the end that the nafshot mate, which was the remez that we had in the pasuk, that we darshan, that would mean dam from shnei meitim, that he didn't change, because that indeed is a pasuk. So that stands. Okay, but this he was mitcharetan, so that if it's an aver that comes from two meitim, it's not metame. Al aver min hachai sheba mishnei meitim. The same thing is true, because remember, an aver min hachai is also metame. Al aver, so that's not mitzarif anymore, he changed his mind. Al chatzi kav atzamot, and this is nogea, of course, a nazir again, because otherwise it would say rova kav atzomes. So even though normally it's a rova kav atzomes, but over here, since we're talking about a nazir, so the din is over here that the nazir would only be migaleach on a chatzikav, and what if that chatzikav came mishnei metim? Also Rabbi Akiva was metame. And what about a revius dama ba mishnei metim that we had? And even though we just said, but we're talking about a nazir, and I thought by a nazir the halacha was that it's chatzilug. But the point over here is that Rabbi Akiva is chaylek even on that. He's not only chaylek on the dinah of being mitzarif the dam, he's chaylek on the amount. And he says a nazir is megaleach even on a rova hakav, mishnei metim, and al etzem kisaora, which over there it would be metame bimaga, but it's an etzem kisaora that was broken into two parts. It's from one mace, but it's not mitzuref as one etzem. So Rabbi Akiva held that that was metame, and the Chachamim said, no, it has to be connected, a full etzem kisaora. And, now dig this, this is what's important, or dig it out anyway, Hashidra v'hagogolet, that comes from Shnei Metim. Now, you'll say, okay, but I don't know what that is. Is that a Shidra plus Gogolet is one? I mean, I have the same question. Or is it a Shidra or a Gogolet? Aha, but the problem is that over here, you have to add up to six. So now we can prove how it is that we're looking at it. Because if the Machlokas was about Shidra Ogogolet instead of O Shidra Ogogolet, right? So if the idea over here is either one, then add it up yourself. And it ends up being seven. Ha-ha. So we can finally see by enumerating it, now we know that it's actually one thing. Shidra plus Gogolet, right? No. Even this is no raya. Even though because I can explain to you, actually, in four different ways, I can explain to you why it is that I call 7, 6, even if it really is 7. In other words, even if the cases are 7, it's still true that the statement that there were 6 things that Rabbi Akiva said that he was chazer ba, it would still be true. How is that? Because, okay, number one. Now, here's my first explanation. Kol heicha de pligi ale rabim. The only case that we're listing that there were 6 things that Rabbi Akiva argued about only refers to 6 things in which the Chachamim was a rabim that were chalik on him. And here, even though there are 7 things, only 6 of them were machlokas with a rabim. Because the case of Etzem Kisaora is not a rabim. And therefore, why is it not a rabim? Because I'll show you, it's a yochid. The Tanya says, Beferish and Abraita, Etzem Kisaora Shedechalak Lishnayim. So Rabbi Akiva is metame. It doesn't say the Chachomim are metame. It says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is metame. So then that means that in this case, it's only a yochid that's been chelek. And because of that, that wasn't what we're listing. We're listing 6 questions in which he was chelek on the rabbi. And here he was a chelek on the rabbi. Next. My next explanation is that we could be talking about 6 things because we're not listing things that come from a living thing. We're talking about 6 things about Tumas Mace that Rabbi Akiva was chaylik on. And over here, we cannot include the Eivor Min HaChai in that list. So Eivor Min HaChai, lo katani. Okay? And Ibaitem, I'll give you another explanation. Why do we count the 7 things as 6 things? Because we're only talking about things where a nazir is megaleach on the oil of the thing. Masha Enkin in Etzem Kisa'ira, there's no din of oil. There's only a din of maga. And that's not part of what our list is. Our list are issues of Nazir's Giluach Be'ayah. Or, I can give you yet another explanation. And that is, remember, it says there were 6 things that Rabbi Akiva argued about and had Harata and was made to the Chachamim. The thing is, though, that when it comes to Revius Dam, he never changed his mind, because that was the one that he learned out from the Pasuk, called Nafshot Mate, right? So, Yibayitema, Ki Katani, Kol Hechada Hadarbe. We're only listing the 6 things that Rabbi Akiva held that he changed his mind about. But that does not include the 7th. And the 7th is Revius Dam. And the Rabbi Yisdam, lo harabe, he never changed his mind. The Amale Rebbe Labar Kapora. So Rebbe said to Bar Kapora, do not include in the list of Charota of Rabbi Akiva, do not include Rabbi Yisdam Bechazara. Sha'arei limudai, shal Rabbi Akiva biyodai. He kept that in his hand. Every time you met him, he would discuss that halacha. He never changed his mind about it. And why should he? It's a pasuk, and he has this strong al kol nafshot meit, and od hamikra misayo, and it says al kol nafshot meit lo yavo. Rabbi Shimon says, look, I can tell you one thing, and that is, I know from learning with Rabbi Akiva, I'm his Talmud. So as long as he was alive, I know he didn't change his mind. Now, maybe change his mind after he died, but the fax is not working, and I haven't gotten any WhatsApps. So I will assume that he did not change his mind after he died and that the faxes broke down. Well, maybe Rabbi Akiva also was zocher to have a fax. Anyway, that was a little bit sarcastic. It wasn't a nice way to speak about Rabbi Akiva, whether he's going to give an answer with the facts or he changed his mind after he died. And Rabbi Shimon felt like a real heel, which of course was the beginning of the sugya. He felt like a real heel that he had talked like that about Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe. And because of that, for the rest of his life, he used to keep taniyot. And Hushkal Rishidav Bipte Taniyotav, it says in a Braita, that he literally, his teeth turned black because of the number of times that he kept a tainus because he spoke without derech eretz. Anyway, boy, those were serious people, let me tell you. Whew. Okay. Anyway, so we're back where we started from, because now we really don't have, we thought we had it. We actually had a count, even the count we managed to get out of. So do we or do we not have a way to prove whether Shidra v'Gogolet means Shidra plus Gogolet or whether they mean Shidra or Gogolet? Let's try again. Tashma, we have a Braita, and the Braita includes the sheet of Shammai HaZaken, not a Beit Shammai, but Shammai HaZaken himself, where it starts off by saying the sheet of Beit Shammai. So Beit Shammai says, if you have a Rova Atzamot, Min ha'atzamim. Now that rova atzamot from one etzem, that's not going to be metame. But if you have a rova atzamot that come from atzamim, o mishnayim, o mishlosha, even if you're talking about two or three bones that together you had a rova atzamot, so then that would be metame be'ohel. He's talking about tumaso. He's not talking about the din of Nazir Migaleach. Beit Hillel Oimrim, when we're talking about a rova, we're talking about only if the rova comes from the rov. So the rova would have to come, minagviyah, would have to be from the body as a whole. So it could be mirov binyan, or mirov minyan. It could be either way. You could have the most of the bones, that is to say, the chash of a bones in terms of the height of the individual in his lifetime, or the height, which would be essentially the legs and the thigh, or it could be even from the rov of the number of atzamas. If you're looking at the rov of the number of atzamas, then it's very surprisingly in the hands. In the hands and feet alone, I say hands and feet, I mean the palm, in other words, the actual hand, not including the arm, not including the leg, you have most of the bones of the body. And that's because of the intricacy of the structure of the hands and feet. So over there, in every digit, you have six different bones. So that means that normally you would have just there in the 20 digits, you would have 120. And then already, since the rove is 125, and you're including the foot and the hand, so you already have a very clear rove. Fine. So therefore, it would have to be much more than what Beit Shammai is saying. Om Rabbi Yoshua, not true. Actually, I can show you that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel essentially are the same. And it sounds to you like it's a big machlokas. Watch me show you it's the same thing. When Beit Shammai say, Mishnayim o Mishlosha, you know what they're talking about? They're talking about o Mishnei Shokayim v'yerechachat, o Mishnei Yerechayim v'shokachat. So what would be talking about over here would be, and the thigh bone's connected to the shin bone, and that, right? So we're talking about the either two shin bones with a thigh, or we're talking about two thighs and one leg, in which case that would be rov govo shel adam, if you're looking at it from the height perspective. Of course, it's not rov atzamot from rov of the gvia, but maybe that's what Beit Hillel meant as well. So in other words, Beit Shammai is talking about the rov gova, and Beit Hillel was talking about minag gvia. He was talking about it could be also mi rov minyan, but he agrees with Beit Shammai. It could be rov the binyan, or it could be rov the minyan. And since the rov a minyan are yeshdan b'mifrakei yadayim v'raglayim, if you're including all of the various joints in the hand and the feet, you've got rov minyan easily right there, very surprisingly. Now we come to Shammai Hazaken, and here's where it's important to us. This is the most important part. Shammai Omer, afilu etzem min hashidra, o min hagogolet. Now, what does Shammai say? He says either if you have a ogogolet, o shidra, he says very, very clearly that it would mean either one. Now, I understand that that's just Shammai Hazaken that says that that's true. But I mean, let's consider the alternative ways of understanding the machlokas here. Generally, we assume that there's not going to be a machlokas in extremes, right? In other words, we don't add machlokas in. We attempt to understand that the shitas that are being described are as close together as makes sense. To find somebody going all the way to one extreme and others going all the way to the other extreme is extremely rare itself. And therefore, and the Gemara actually uses this to define the nature of machlokas, unless we know otherwise. So over here, we would need to assume, if we're going to say that Shammai Hazaken is arguing not only about whether you need to have Mirov Hatzamais, but he's arguing also on whether you need to have Shidra or Gogolet. Oh, man, I mean, that's mamish pulling it to the extreme. Probably when it comes to the issue of Shidra or Gogolet, there's still machlokas between Shammai Hazaken and the other Shitas over here. And the only thing that he's arguing about is whether you need to have the Rov Binyan or Rov Minyan, right? That's why we're taking for granted that it's probable that it's O Shidra, O Gogolet. There's a Gemara, look, you can't bring a raya from there. It's true, it's reasonable. But once we know that we're talking, I mean, we're not talking about it just old anybody over here. We're talking about Shammai Hazaken, the most machmer person in the world. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's machmer really all the way in the extreme that O Shidra, O Gogolet is what we're talking about over here. So the only ones that have actually, in terms of the bottom line, come to a psak over here are the poison companies. They've decided gogolet plus two thigh bones equals death. And that became the simon of poison, right? Across the world, Raal. So they were paskening both like Shammai, but they wanted paskening only like Shammai. So they also included almost Rov Binyan. So they took away one of those bones because they used the gogolet as the Rov of the height as well. What else could explain that weird picture, right? Okay.
They were trying to get a show treatment.
Not one of your better Mordechai Bilshan moments.
Maybe the old days, the offices, where the rod was spoken and the water spoken.
I'm not picking up. I'm sorry. The accent is too extreme.
I was saying when they get the ancient devils, they used to put them in small boxes. They took the widest and the longest bone. So that cross is the longest.
Oh, you know what I heard? It was depending if you had wireless phones or. What in the world? Okay. Very good. Okay. So now, actually, says the Gemara, wait a minute. So maybe that itself should be a raya. So then, live shait bina, the taima, the shamai, the machmir. I mean, since he talks out, no siree, even one shidra or one gogolet, you know. So, I mean, he's the only one who says, or, so that, appears to be saying, you guys are crazy that you need both and? No, it's not and, it's or. So maybe just from the way that he said it, we should be medayik the opposite. Horabonan adi ikar shidra v'gugolet. Come on, you know that's not much of a raya. Lo, ad kan lo pligi rabonan alei de shamai. Ella, the question of one bone that comes from a shidra min a gugolet. If you have either a shidra or a gugolet that's whole, that's what we're talking about. They could easily agree that even one of them is metame. So we still do not have a right. Now, remember, again, that according to everyone but Rabbi Akiva Shita Lagabe Nazir, according to everyone, you need a chatzi kav for a nazir to be begalayah, and not a rova kav. So now the question is, could there be a difference in the chashivas of that rova hakav? Because here we found that there's a machlokas, a three-way machlokas between Shammai and Beit Hillel about the chashivas of the atzamais that go into the rova hakav. Now the question is there also a comparable question that would be nogea the shir of chatzikav by a nazir? So there's many, many approaches to this sugya. It is not a very simple sugya at all. So, okay, let's take a look at the way that the Rosh essentially learns the Gemara. Oy Rami Bar Choma, when we're talking about a rova atzomais, what if the rova atzomais would come from the shidra and the gugolet, and now a nazir was mitame? So these are the most choshava parts of the body, because we see that they themselves would be mitame. Maybe the din that we have a halacha by a nazir that only a chatzi kav atzomais is mitame. So ki katoni chatzi kav atzomot, maybe those were referring to chatzi kav atzomot that come from other halakim of the mace that are not so choshev. Maybe some Rov Minyan, maybe Rov Binyan, even if we assume that. But it's still not the Shidra v'Gugolet. Avomina Shidra v'Gugolet, which are so chomur, and they are mitame, even. Now, the question of what this means, that they're so chomur, is not very clear at all. Because why are we saying, if they're so chomur, right? So the pashtas is that, and this is the way the Rosh understands it, that the reason that this is coming up here is because it's connected gufa to the question of it's O or whether it's plus. Is it Shidra plus Gugolet or is it Shidra O Gugolet? And that would be a completely different thing because the question about the Nazir comes out directly from what it is we've been discussing. If we understand our Mishnah of being O, so then that would mean that we see it as being very chomor, because even though it's not a kolel, the rov of the other shiurim that we said would be choshev, rov binyan and rov minyan, but if I need both the shidra and the gugolet, so then it wouldn't be more chomor than having the other rov minyan or rov binyan. If it's either or, well, that's an amazing chumrah. Because if it's either or, what do you mean, just a skull? I mean, even though the skull is, in fact, remember that when we're talking about the Ramach Evorim, and Ramach Evorim refer specifically to ossification centers, as you know from watching an infant and watching the skull form in an infant, the ossification centers are very different than the bone, the ending bone formation in an adult. So it looks like a single bone could be made up of many numbers of separate sites of ossification that close over time. And therefore, the skull itself is certainly not going to be as chashuv as Rov Binyan, or Rov Binyan. And yet, if you're telling me it means oh, so then that means that these are like in a completely different set of chashivas of bones. And therefore, maybe that set is not part of the din of chatzikav atzomais, because chatzikav atzomais is where there's no special identity, the particular bones that we're talking about. But as I just showed you, and I didn't mean it as a joke, even though I said it with a smile. But the fact is that people really do relate to a skull. The skull and bones, simen, is an indication of there being a special set in which the skull alone is considered to be the equivalent of a binyan and minyan, right? And that is because of its chashivas. So maybe it really is a different set. Maybe the din of chatzikav of a nazir doesn't apply to that set. It only applies to the generic bones, so to speak, the more generic bones. Odilma loshna. So what would be the din? Now, so according to the way Rashi understands it, this is the equivalent of the shayla of Rami Bar Choma. Do we mean shidra ogugolet, or do we mean shidra plus gugolet? So this is a different way of looking at the question. If Shidra of a Gogolet is unique, because it's either or, so then Enochinami, the din of Chatzikav, wouldn't apply, and a Rovakav would be enough. If it means both, so then they're not unique, they're not more Chomer than Rov Binyan. And therefore the din of Chatzikav Atomes would apply. So this really makes the Gemara flow from the Sugya before. Amar Rava, well, take a look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ashidra v'agugolet is mechayev the giluach of the nazir. So if we take for granted, which makes a great deal of sense, that together Ashidra and gugolet are certainly going to have a rova hakava v'atzomes, so then what is the point of Ashidra v'agugolet? Anyway, they would be metame, because they would be metame as a rova hakav, and Isal Kadaitech Rova Atzamais, the Oti Min Hashidva Gugolet Chomir, if you believe that it's a different set of bones, and therefore Nozer would be Megaleach, even on less than a Chatzikav, and even if it was a Roiva Hakav, why do we need Shidva Gugolet if by definition they would already be included in Rova Kav Atzamais? It should just say, Al Rova Atzomas Habomina Shidra Vagogolet. But why does it say you need the entire Shidra Vagogolet? So you see that it simply is not the case, and that a Shidra Vagogolet is only the full Shidra Vagogolet, which means that the Nazir would not be Megaleach on a Rova Akav, he would still need a Chatzikav. And if he would need a Chatzikav, then I understand that in a Shidra Vagogolet, you could have of an infant that is not a Chatzikav, and that therefore I need to list it separately, right? No, says the Gemara. What do you mean, right? That's crazy. Rava, how could Rava say this? He was the very person who said that lo nitzrucha ela l'shidu v'gugolet she'ein b'em Rava atzamot. So he said some other place. He said some other place, the Rosh, I don't know where, but whatever it is, but he said some other place, that there's a difference of a shir of gugolet because they don't have a shir of rovat tzemes. How can you be the one who's springing a raya that it definitely would have a rovat tzemes? It's ridiculous. Yes, it is ridiculous. You're right. But that's because Rava found out later from Rabbi Akiva, but the Sham Ami Rabbi Akiva, again, whatever it's referring to, it's not clear at all where this happens. Where did he learn it from Rabbi Akiva? But apparently, he learned from Rabbi Akiva that it is possible to have a Shidva Gugolet that still has a din of Shidva Gugolet, Bepachas Biroiva Atzame. So we are left still with our question, does a Rova Atzame from Shidva Gugolet, is it enough for Nozer to be Megaleach Alav or not? The question still stands to be looked at tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. So, it's always good to say goodbye mitoch divrei Torah, and that's not only because of Baruch Avram, this is a universal psak, and that anybody should be kept at the edge of his seat so that we look forward to meeting again. Bezrat Hashem. See you then tomorrow. I'm getting this strange inability to cut out. Okay. I guess, B'derek Sh'adam Rotzel Alechet Pa, B'lichin Ato, it's so hard to say goodbye. Have a wonderful day with B'surot Tovot.